Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Greetings to you in the name of Jesus. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Ever feel like you want to do something that'll make a difference in the lives of people, but in a way that will make a difference not only now, but for eternity? Sometimes eternity can seem so far off, but the difference that can be made now, today, in the life of a person, in the life of a child, can make all the difference in the world. Tamara Bitanga, known as Tammy to her peers, and Auntie Tammy to many young girls, was born in Honolulu, Hawaii. She grew up in both Kailua and the North Shore. She's also lived in Oregon and Florida. At the age of 13, she was placed in the foster care system due to abuse in her home. She struggled and eventually wound up in Alaska, working as an escort in a gentleman's club. She returned to Hawaii after 4 months. It was just the beginning. And she's here to share what took place and how it has transpired by the grace of God into something that will impact the lives, already is, and will continue to do so in increased measure of many, many young people. We pause at the beginning of our show to remind you the reason we have the Good Life Radio Show is to lead you to Jesus Christ, to bring exposure, allow you to see what God is doing in the lives of people and how God can work in them and how he can work in you. He who died on the cross for your sins, shed his blood on that cross to wash your sins away. This Jesus who was buried and rose again on the third day calls you to himself today, my friend. Would you open your heart to Christ? It is our prayer and our hope that you would indeed do so. Tammy Bitanga, her life changed 13 years ago, and she's going to share what happened. She is a member of Hope Chapel Olomana, and she's married to Johnny. She has one son, Chad, and a doxy named Frankie. Sitting beside her is Jessica Munoz, who is a nurse practitioner and the president of Ho'ola Napua, A New Life for Our Children. And Jessica graduated from Long Beach State and the University of Hawaii, got her undergrad and graduate degrees from those distinguished institutions. And beside her, Tiffany Ahuna, who is a local girl who attended Iolani School and went to college at the University of San Diego. She's a businesswoman, but has a heart for charitable causes and is a very key part of Ho'ola Napua. And so these three are here with us today to speak heart to heart about the things that God is doing in their life and in their ministry. Tammy, Jessica, Tiffany, welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tammy, let's start with you. What happened to you when you were young that led you into the place where you were working as an escort in a gentleman's club?
Well, from a really young age, I was sexually molested by my dad, who at 12 I found out was my Hanai dad. All the time growing up, I thought he was my biological dad and that my mom had just abandoned me. But when I was 12, I found out that he was my Hanai dad. And my mom was gone from the time I was, before I can remember. So I had a stepmom when I was 6. And then I was raised with them. And when I was about 13, I realized that my friend's dads didn't do the things that he was doing to me. And so I told my older sister, and she called CPS, and they came and got me. from my school and put me in a police car and took me to Kailua Police Station. And from there, they placed me in emergency foster care. I did an exam at Kapi'olani Children's Hospital. I had to tell them, a lot of them, my story of what was going on from that young age. And so I was then placed into a regular foster care home that took me and four other girls in and took care of us daily. And she was a great foster mom. She provided for us. She cared for us. She loved us. But at that time, that was in like 1978. And they really didn't have a scope of what was going on with children that were sexually abused, for one. And then they would bring girls in that had already been exposed to prostitution into our home. And they shared the things that was going on out on the street. And if you're in a foster home and you don't have what you had at home, as far as material things, those types of things can look very appealing and entice you to just compromise yourself and go out and do that. And that's what happened to me. We went to Waikiki. We met up with some guys. I didn't go home that night. My foster sister went home, but I didn't go home. I ended up going to the guy's house and staying over. And then I was asked if I wanted to go to Alaska. And I was already sexually active and doing drugs and drinking. So none of that seemed far-fetched to me. I was 15 years old. So I just went ahead and did it and went to Alaska. I thought at that time I was just living the life. Like, I was so on top of my game because I was doing something that I had already been doing for free with my dad. So I was getting paid big money. I was dressing up. I had jewelry. I had a lot of drugs and a lot of alcohol. And I was my own boss most of the time. I mean, I lived in a massage parlor, and there were older girls there. And there was a lady that ran the massage parlor. She lived next door. So there was like, it was like a, what do you call that? Like a duplex. So one side of it was for the girls to pull their tricks. And the other side of it was for this lady to live. In terms that they use today, she was like the madam. But she was the pimp that I worked for's cousin. So if we would turn a trick that day, we would have like, say, if I did maybe 5,000 that day, I usually would turn over like maybe most of it. I'll keep a couple hundred for myself. And so it wasn't like a super horrible environment, but it got horrible because I had to go work the street after a while when it got slow. And when I was on the street, I was approached by Vice. And that was scary because I was running from Vice. I thought they would arrest me and I would get locked up. So I was a runaway from Hawaii, and I was able to avoid getting arrested. But I also saw girls getting hurt on the street. I saw girls in my own stable getting beaten by the pimp that I worked for. And I did get fearful after a bit. And I actually got in a bad situation myself where I got in a car and went to a hotel. And there were three guys in the hotel room. And in that situation, without going into detail, my life was threatened with a pistol. And I had to escape from them. And that pretty much changed my outlook on that I was in control of my own life at that time. So I decided to come back to Hawaii, which I had to escape from the pimp with the help of another younger pimp. And what the ironic thing is that I called my dad, my Hanai dad, the original perpetrator, and he sent me a plane ticket. And back in those days, you just needed a fake name, a fake ID, and you got an e-ticket and you just get on a plane. There's no real TSA or anything. This is early 80s.
Now, as you're describing this, the reality of it is, and we hear a singular voice sharing her experience, but you're not alone.
No.
This goes on in epidemic proportions all over the world, and even here. And so, Jessica, you have a heart, a nurse practitioner. Now you're leading an organization. It's the English is a new life for our children, but Hawaiian, Ho'ola Na Pua. How did you get involved with this organization, or start this organization to make a difference in the realm of sex trafficking?
Well, like most situations that exist in the world, there's a time that you discover that there's a problem. So there's an awareness piece. So when I was exposed to the issue of trafficking about 5 years ago, I just thought it was overseas. I mean, I was like most people. If you ask the average person on the street here, they would say trafficking exists in Thailand, Cambodia, mm-hmm. Africa. But when we talk about children, Hawaiian children being exploited, most people would say, oh, that doesn't happen here. So being exposed to that, I was thinking, wow, like, why isn't anybody talking about this? And there were a few groups talking about it, but it wasn't on a grand scale. We're not seeing it on the news. We're not talking about it in healthcare settings, which is where I work, but really trying to understand what the needs were in our community surrounding this issue. Obviously, there was an awareness component that people didn't know that it was a problem. But then once you find out about the scope of this problem and how horrendous it is, you then think, okay, well, then what do you do with the girls, right? You identify them, but then what do we do with them? And sadly, there is no licensed long-term residential facility specific to the needs that these girls face. And coming from a clinical background and coming from an extensive background in dealing with pediatric trauma, I was heartbroken that we didn't have anything specific to these girls to meet their needs, to help them start that healing process. And realizing that it's not just, it can't be a single approach to working with them. It's a very comprehensive, holistic approach because their trauma, and that's one thing that has really been groundbreaking as we've started working with this population of girls, is you start to realize the level of trauma. And I know Tammy, with her story, she can tell you up and down, if she had had intervention at a young age in dealing with the trauma of what she'd been through, she wouldn't have had to struggle.
Well, intervention, the trauma, what really goes on? What goes on the inside? Tammy Bitonga can share with us what she experienced, and it would relate with what many experience today. And Jessica Munoz is leading an organization for intervention to make a difference in a holistic way, the lives of these precious, precious young people. Tiffany Ahuna is playing a key role in getting the word out on how we can be involved in helping to facilitate what God is doing here. You can find out more at ho'olonapua.org. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year, and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Sex trafficking is a growing global issue. Because of the hidden nature of this crime, the data collected to date doesn't even represent the true scope of the problem. Jessica Munoz is in studio with us today, Tiffany Ahuna, and Tammy Bitanga, who has been so gracious to share her own experiences of what she's had to do in her young life, just a teenager, to survive, to please, and her life has gone through the ringer, to say the least. You're listening to The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. This is a very serious matter today, and every once in a while, and I think we need to do it more than we actually do, we need to get into the realities of what's going on and the hidden nature of things, but to be aware of what's taking place in our society. And that's why these dear women are in studio. To find out more about their organization, go ahead and visit hoalanapua.org, hoalanapua.org, a new life for our children. One thing I love is the tender hearts that you have. Jessica, what are some of the statistics of trafficking?
Well, globally, I mean, it's the fastest growing crime above even illegal guns and drugs, the issue of human trafficking. And we have, there's estimates, they vary. I mean, you can go to different websites and different organizations that give you a general scope of what the problem looks like. And sadly, the reason we don't really know the true numbers is because it's really not well tracked. And that's because it's not identified. And that's because most people and most organizations and a lot of government entities don't even realize the scope and the extent of the problem. Nationally, when we look at numbers, the Office of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention estimates that there's around 1.6 to 2.7 million children every year that run away. That's a lot of children. The reason why we emphasize runaways is because running away is a high risk for ending up in a trafficking situation. Within 48 hours of a runaway running away from home, 90% will be approached for sex services. Hmm. It's estimated that there's around 100,000 children a year that are becoming newly enslaved to the issue of sex trafficking in America. So you take the Ohio Stadium. There's 100,000 seats in the Ohio Stadium. You picture the face of a child in each one of those seats. And that gives you the scope of what we estimate new recruits, new children that are involved in this issue. So it's pretty extensive. And we talk about locally numbers, and this is a huge issue because we really don't know here in Hawaii the scope of the problem. I sit on the State Task Force Against Human Trafficking, and we're looking at this issue, and it comes down to a data collection issue and an identification issue. But what we can say is that here in Hawaii, we have such a unique geographical location, right? We're connecting the East and the West. We have a heavy military population. We have a heavy business population. We have tourism. We have people that come in for business conferences and things like that. And what's interesting is that all of those components make Hawaii a prime location for sexual exploitation of children. We have one of the highest rates of intrafamilial incest. We have the third highest rate of teen suicide. We have one of the highest rates of teen pregnancy. Each one of those things are high risk, are high risk things that can cause kids to end up in a trafficking situation. We have around 200 children that run away every month in Hawaii. We don't have a runaway division in the police department. So when kids run away, no one's looking for them here.
Tammy, you ran away, and you ended up in places that words are very few in terms of its capacity to describe. What went on the inside of you?
Well, when I ran away the first time, that really wasn't my first time. I used to just run away for the night or two and go drink with my friends and then come back home, and my foster mom would just accept me back and she wouldn't call the cops or anything. But when I ran away that time, I knew that I was really on the run, and I was surviving. I thought, you know, I had it all together. When I came back to Hawaii and went back to my dad's house, I worked during the day in his office doing paperwork because I had already done that periodically during the summer growing up. So answering the phone, filing, typing envelopes and such, that was just easy. But at nighttime, I would go, and technically I was still on the run. So at night, and I was on the run and my dad was harboring me. So at night, I would go to Waikiki and I'd hook up with friends and I'd get drugs. I did a lot of cocaine at the time. I'd, you know, go to hotel rooms and I'd pull a trick here and there, mostly with like Japanese tourists. And, you know, I wasn't afraid being out there because at that time, the pimp that I had worked for previously wasn't on this island. He wasn't in Honolulu. But I had a lot of local guy friends that would just watch out for us. And, you know, when you say child sex trafficking or minor domestic sex trafficking, I didn't look like I was 8 years old. I looked like I was 25 years old. I wore makeup. I wore heels. I dressed in clothing that was very revealing. And I played the game. So, you know, I was still 15. My mentality was still 15. Although I was street smart, the things and the choices that I made were not good and they weren't mature. So I was basically just like surviving. And then my dad, one day he kind of realized that, like, I'd bring my prostitute friends home and we'd party, and then I'd get up in the morning, I'd go to work for him in his office, but he'd see my friends leaving my apartment. And so one day he gave me an ultimatum. He said, okay, you got to stop doing that kind of life and you got to call your social worker and tell her that you lied about what I did to you, and you need to go to Cannon's business school so you can get a degree and graduate. And I was like, I'm not doing that. I just kind of flipped. I told him that I told him a lot of things, and I ran away again. And this time I ran away to my biological dad, because by at that time I had realized and found out who my real dad was. And so again, I ran away from my Hanai dad and I went to live with my biological dad. Again, I'm a runaway and I'm being harbored by my biological dad, who allowed me to smoke pot, drink alcohol, smoke cigarettes, and do cocaine. And to no fault of his, it was in the 70s and people just didn't really realize the trouble that that could cause somebody. But for me, it was masking. All I was doing was hiding from my reality. And I was depressed, very, very depressed. I wouldn't leave the house but to go get food. and get drugs. And I did that for about 3 months. And, you know, I remember hearing his girlfriend say, you have to get help for Tammy. Something's wrong with her. She's not well. And I got mad when I heard her say that, because in my mind at 15, I was okay. I was alive. I was eating. I was getting high. And for me, I was okay. So that was where my mind was at. And one day I just said, I need to go to school. I have to go back to school. I want to graduate. And so I finally did call my social worker. And I told her, you know, I need to go back to school. So can I meet you somewhere? And she said, well, you're a runaway, so you have to meet me at Halikipa. So I did. I met her at Halikipa. I stayed there for probably the maximum, like, 60 days. They found me another foster home out on the North Shore, because their thinking was get her out of Kailua and get her out of town. So put her in the North Shore and she'll settle down. And all along that time, they never addressed that I was selling myself for money or drugs. They never addressed that I was a drug user. They never assessed me in a way that dealt with the trauma. They never asked me what I had dealt with.
Jessica, hold on, Napua. You want to address these things, don't you? Take us back a few moments, a little bit. How did you get the idea, and what does Ho'olanapua do?
Okay. So when we look at wanting to address the comprehensive needs of this population, there are several factors that come into place. It has to be a comprehensive approach. And when I'm talking about a comprehensive approach, it's saying law enforcement, social work, therapists, physicians, nurses, prosecutors, mental health professionals all have to be at the table when mm-hmm. we're talking about addressing the needs. And for so long, people have operated in silos. So there's been this organization or that organization or a governmental entity that's wanted to address this issue. But because the needs are so complex, it really has taken getting people to come to the table and work together. Starting from when a child's picked up off the street or placed into the justice system, how are we walking them through the process? Because oftentimes right now, these girls are arrested, and they're arrested on delinquency charges, running away from home, running away from school, avoiding school, petty misdemeanors. And not all the time are they arrested on prostitution. Yet nobody was asking, well, why were they in these other situations? Why were they, you know, out on the streets? And so what we've found is that, oh my goodness, we keep placing them back into the same situations, and we're not looking at what really has happened to these kids. So our organization, we focus a lot on education and awareness. We support legislation by testifying for bills that better protect our kids. We limit supply through our Smart Courage School Awareness Program. So we started a program where we're going into the schools, into the classrooms, talking to the kids about their risk. It's like Stranger Danger of the 21st century.
Let's talk more about that when we come back. What's going on in the schools? How are you getting in there, and what are you presenting? What do you hope to accomplish with that? And you've got some events coming up that are going to help to facilitate more and better of these types of programs. And Tiffany Ohuna is here to share about that. When we come back, you'll hear from these women of the time, women who, well, have gone through various aspects of life experiences, and in God's amazing grace, He weaves them together in a beautiful tapestry, a tapestry that is known today as Ho'olanapua. In fact, you can find out more about that at ho'olanapua.org. When we come back, you'll hear more. Heart to Heart, stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference. But where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
What if you were alone, you felt alone, and you were being abused, even though you didn't even know you were being abused? You knew something was wrong, but it was hard for you to really express what your need was, because you don't really know what you need because you're so young. What difference would it make if somebody took you in and gave you a safe place? A place that you could find out more about yourself, learn and heal, and then be repositioned for a life of productivity, purpose, fulfillment, a life of peace and joy. A home? Well, that's what Ho'ola Napua is all about. They want to take girls who have been enslaved by sex trafficking and bring them into a home. Ho'olanapua.org. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii radio show. The president of Ho'ola Napua is here in studio. Her name is Jessica Munoz. Tammy Bitanga is also here sharing her very gripping story. And Tiffany Ahuna is also involved in this very, very important and timely organization. Find out more about this program at thegoodlifehawaii.com. You can listen for free, share it with any family member or friend. And to find out more about Ho'olanapua, ho'olanapua.org. Tiffany, what brought you to the place where you said, hey, I've got to get involved with this organization?
Well, it was last year, probably in March. I was serving on a committee for a women's community networking group as a charity coordinator. So I was looking for an organization for us to volunteer at. And I was really looking for just a one-day event. I could take 20 of the women from our group and just show up for the event and volunteer. And I happened to meet with two of our leaders from Ho'olanapua in just a quick coffee meeting to hear about the organization and what we could do. And literally, I mean, as soon as you hear about the issue, you hear about 8-year-old girls being pulled into lifestyle, being basically tricked by pimps to fall in love or to think that they're in love, to go into the sex trafficking lifestyle. It's heartbreaking. So in that meeting, they gave me a book, and I literally waited for a week before I read it because I was like, I don't know if I want to be knowledgeable about this. But once you read it, once you hear the stories of what these girls go through, you can't not do something. So from then, it went to basically what you hear is we need $2 million to get the house open. And, you know, with us applying for land and houses right now, we're hopeful that we'll get the house open in the next year. So now it's really raising the funds to make sure we can renovate the rooms, you know, and provide a safe environment for the girls, but also a homely environment to give them something they've never had before. And so what we really are focusing right now is the fundraising aspects. Then there is multiple ways. Of course, there's basic donations, but we also have a program called Thousand from a Thousand. And what we're striving for is if we can get 1,000 people to donate $1,000, how quickly we can get to that goal. And we have programs where you can do monthly payments, where it's $83 a month. So you don't have to do a lump sum. We also are doing 2 huge events upcoming. So the first one is going to be on October 4th. It's at the Pacific Club, and it's our annual gala. And, you know, it'll be a nice event for dinner. We'll have silent auctions and just have a good time. So we also need people to donate items for the silent auction. We're looking for volunteers who would like to do with setup programs, you know, seating events, the day of. There's a lot of man work that goes into these mm-hmm. events. And, you know, we were very successful in raising over $50,000 last year.
Wow.
So we're, yeah. Our goal this year is really to hit that $100,000 mark with this event. And then we also have a golf tournament. You know, I know you like to golf, so we're expecting you there. But it's going to be on November 3rd, and it's at the Mid-Pacific Club. Mm-hmm. So we have that. And again, we're going to do a silent auction at that. So, you know, we would love donations. And just, you know, we're always looking for strategic partners for people. If you have items that you want to sell and give a proceed to Ho'olanapua, you know, if you have great ideas in terms of just items that would coincide with just what our mission is, that we can sell and brand as Ho'olanapua. But, you know, we're at a point where we just want to welcome any ideas and anything that we can get to raise the funds, because even after we accomplish, and we will accomplish the goal of raising the $2 million, we need about $1 million a year to keep this house operating. Because like Jessica said, there's, you know, it's not just taking the girls off the street and putting them in a house. There has to be therapy. There has to be, you know, just in terms of dealing with the trauma that they go through. It's not an easy task, and it's going to take time. So there is not only the house, but, you know, after they go through their rehab program, then we're going to be looking for foster families that can continue to give them a safe environment. And, you know, you'll hear Tammy's story. She's a miracle. You know, not only did she get out of that lifestyle and find the Lord, but she is a successful woman too.
October 4th at the Pacific Club. It's the annual gala for Ho'olanapua. And November 3rd, a golf tournament at Mid-Pacific Country Club. Those two dates are a key one. we've got to keep mentioning that along the way. But the heart needs to be touched. See, we can hear about a concern, and we could give intellectual consent to the need for it, but until it grips our heart, somehow moves us as it has moved you, Tiffany, to be involved. This could not be a passing thing. By the way, what book were you reading?
Renting Lacey, probably.
Renting Lacey? And that book just...
absolutely.
Totally grabbed...
You can't read it and not be changed.
Well, Renting Lacey, in one form, Tammy, that book could also be your story in some or maybe many respects. You're whole. You are clear in your mind and even more so in your heart. How did a transformation take place in your life?
So I would say from 18 to 30, I did a lot of crazy things. I had many relationships. I did a lot of drugs. I was just doing things that didn't make sense to most people.
And why were you doing that? What were you trying to... Were you trying to quell a pain? Or
I think I was surviving. I think I was just surviving. I worked in a law office. I had a son at 18 years old. I did things that just didn't make sense to most people. But, you know, along the way, people would be telling me that you're nuts, you're crazy, why are you doing that? And I would be like, what? Like, not really knowing that the things that I was doing, it was like self-destruction type of stuff. And I didn't really think anything of it because that was just kind of normal for me. But one day my girlfriend said, you know what, Tommy, you need to go to church. I'm going to take you to this church. And so I went to church with her. I sat in that church for a year. I was like, these people are so happy. I don't even want to be their friends because they don't have any idea what my life is like. I had so much hate for them in a way of how dare they be telling me about how good this God is. Mm. But at the same time, I was like wanting to be happy like them. So I just sat there and listened, like I said, for a year. But, you know, Hope Chapel, they have this thing about mini church, right? So I started going to mini church and I'd ask people, like, so where was God when this was happening to me? And I would tell a little bit of my story and I would say something about maybe some domestic violence situation that I had been in or whatever. But little by little, I do Bible studies. I went to retreats. I got baptized. I started to serve in my church, and basically people just loved me where I was. Mm-hmm.
Little by little, people loved her. It's a process. It's a process that she's gone through. It's a process that many young girls need to go through, little by little. Being loved by, I'm looking at Tammy, and this is a very emotional moment because it touches her very deeply when she talks about the love that she has experienced. This is the kind of love that Jessica and Tiffany and Tammy want to share, want to pass on, want to embrace. As many young girls who are enslaved right now, but to be liberated through their organization, Ho'ola Napua, to be in the house, a safe place, a place of healing and hope. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky.
leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.org. Others have connected with us on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Winter Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Valarmi of Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, and RG Maintenance LLC. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 KGU, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Well, what's happening? What's the success of what they're accomplishing already? Of course, they have a big vision. And God has opened up doors for them to move forward on it. And in fact, mark this down. Keep these dates in mind. October 4th, that's a Saturday. It'll be held at the Pacific Club. It's an annual gala that Ho'ola Napua is going to be conducting. And, you know, a silent auction. But really, the heart of it is to liberate, to set free these young girls that are enslaved by sex trafficking. Somehow, it doesn't affect us until it touches us in some gut-level way. That's what we're talking about with Tammy Bitanga sharing. By the way, there's a golf tournament also that's going to be held on Monday, November 3rd at the Mid-Pacific Country Club. Tiffany Ahuna is here, Jessica Munoz, and Tammy Bitanga. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, you can find out more at thegoodlifehawaii.com. And again, ho'olanapua.org. That's where you can find out more about their organization. Jessica, you're the president. You're leading. You've got the vision, the entrepreneurial gift and grace as a nurse practitioner. Is there something more that has pulled you in to be activated to do something about this?
When I heard about trafficking and started learning about the extent of trafficking and the trauma that it causes, it literally has wrecked my life in a good way. And I remember distinctly the day that the Lord showed me that I was supposed to get this home open. I was driving back home and up to the North Shore, and the Lord just said, "This is what you're supposed to do. You need to create a place of healing for these girls." And I remember I just started crying because I was thinking, what do I have to offer? I come from a really loving family. I don't have a lot of trauma in my own life. And I remember I was talking to a survivor about 2 weeks later, and she looked at me and she said, you know, the thing that you do offer us is this hope for wholeness and this hope for healing. And you believe that we can be something more. And from that point on, it literally changed my life. I mean, I spend 60, 70 hours a week in addition to my full-time job doing this, to get this home open, to do it well, to have a quality approach to working with these girls. But even beyond that, I mean, the story of Esther 4:14, for such a time as this, it is, I know without a doubt that the Lord has put me at this time to be speaking out and talking about this issue and bringing it up and trying to bring a community-wide effort to address this problem, but also to look at the solution of bringing hope and healing to these girls. And the days that I want to give up and the days I want to just be over it, because I'll tell you, this issue, it goes deep. Not only is it a horrendous atrocity, but it's also, there's a lot of politics surrounding it. There's a lot of bureaucracy. And it requires that constant faith, knowing that God's going to do something so big. And that's all I keep hearing, is that just be faithful, just be obedient. I don't know all the answers to this, but all I know is that I have to be faithful and obedient, and I know that these children deserve better than what we've been doing. And I look at Tammy, and I want to prevent, and I want to bring healing to these kids before it takes 30 years, mm-hmm. 40 years, 50 years of them living in this lifestyle, of them living with the trauma and the regret and the shame, because they are victims. And if I hear one more time people say that prostitute or that child prostitute, there's no such thing as a child prostitute. These children are being prostituted. They're not choosing this life. They're being forced into this life. And we have to say, as a community, we're done. We're not going to tolerate this anymore. We have to be enraged to do something. And that's what I always tell my volunteers. I don't care what you believe in. I don't care, you know, your background. But if you believe it's wrong for children to be sold for sex, then you can be on our team. And we are so excited to have people coming forward with all different backgrounds and unique specialties, bringing what they have to this project, because it's completely 100% volunteer driven until we get this home open.
Jessica, you're already involved. I mean, there's an organic connection to the vision of the house, the home, but you're doing things now.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening in the lives of some of these young girls right now?
Okay. Well, because of our extensive outreach in the community with promoting education and awareness about this issue, we've had girls and young women coming forward. And it's been exciting to see them coming forward and wanting to get help. And so while we've been raising this education and awareness, we've also been creating a resource list so that we can connect them with therapists and with different organizations, and but also other services that do exist now. But in addition to that, we've also had the opportunity to do some one-on-one mentoring. And having Tammy has been an incredible, I think, experience for most of these girls, because they're able to see someone who has successfully transitioned out of living in the life, is married, had a child, you know, is in a loving relationship. And that is powerful, because it shows there is new life and there is hope.
It can be done.
Absolutely. And so, I mean, just to give you some numbers, just last year alone, we've talked to over 7,000 people in the community. We've conducted over 60 trainings on the issue of trafficking and the need for this home. I personally work closely with the family court judges and probation. And so there is a stirring going on in this community from all levels, from faith-based to governmental entities surrounding this issue. And one of the beautiful things is the need for this home has been the center. Every single one of these people will tell you the number one need in Hawaii is we need a facility, a licensed home for underage girls. And so it's been absolutely exciting for us to be a part of this movement.
Give us a little bit more of the specifics, and we'll come to you, Tiffany, for a few more seconds of some information. How big are we looking at? How many rooms? How many girls could you accommodate? What is that?
So we actually just applied for a site. It's a DLNR site, so it's a state-owned piece of land, so we would actually lease it. But the facility now has 12 acres, and we could house up to 32 underage girls on site. And when we talk about comprehensive, we're talking about equine therapy, art therapy, dance therapy, on-site schooling, on-site mental health care. I mean, everything is provided on site. So we need a site that's safe, big, and can accommodate.
A restoration site. Mm-hmm. Tiffany, we need more information.
Sure. And like Jess said, it's building up. So the end goal is the house, but there's a lot of work that we need to do before that can happen. So we need people from all sorts of skill sets, whether you're social media, marketing, PR, special events, if you're an event planner, anything, if you're good at admin, recruiting, being on the phone and calling people, anything, any skill set that you have, we're more than happy to have you come on board. Just anyone who has a heart for the cause. And the easiest way right now to get a hold of us is just to email at info@hoalanapua.org. Or you can go to our Facebook page. You know, it's www.facebook.com/Hoalanapua. We also have Instagram and Twitter, which is @Hoalanapua. So there's a bunch of different ways that you can just follow what we're doing in the community and reach out to us and, you know, just get involved.
Tiffany Ahuna, Jessica Munoz, and Tammy Bitonga, thank you so much for coming to share the heart, your great passion for young girls and wanting to see them restored. And I believe that the vision that God has given you will become a reality. The hand of God's grace is upon you. You are a blessing, and you will be a blessing to many, many in the days to come. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And I hope as you've been listening, my friend, that you've been encouraged by the heart level sharing of Tammy Bitonga, Jessica Munoz, and Tiffany Ahuna. Find out more at hoalanapua.org. You know what? God's timing? Hey, God's timing is perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, this is the perfect moment to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a message for you there. And to help us with your financial support, to make a donation, thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Partners. Psalm 73:28, but as for me, how good it is to be near God. I've made it the sovereign Lord my shelter, and I will tell everyone about the wonderful things you do. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to Tammy Bitonga, Jessica Munoz, and Tiffany Ahuna. Find out more at hoalanapua.org. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Antai, guest coordinator, Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave it to me. I'll leave.